This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Automobile manufacturing and our country. You know, when I did this, when I announced this during the campaign, or the election itself, China was building the car plant. It was going to be the largest in the world. They immediately stopped construction. You can see the foundations there.
Speaking right now.
They immediately stopped. When they heard I was doing this, that would have destroyed Detroit. It would have destroyed Michigan. This plant would have taken up more than almost the whole state built. And it would have been very destructive. When they heard me speak, and they said, wow, if he gets in, we're gonna lose our shirt. So they stopped building. That's the impact that tariffs have. Again, you know, I say it, and I say it loudly. It's the most beautiful word, but now I say religion, love, and a couple of other things are more beautiful because I got in a lot of problem with the fake news when they said, oh, other things are more important. God is more important. But these are the words. But I would say it's number 4 or 5. To me, it's the most beautiful. And I'll tell you what, I think really reciprocal tariffs, those two words, reciprocal makes tariffs really fair.
There'd be no exemptions, right? It would be all auto imports?
Any exemptions, no, because you don't need to. With reciprocal, you don't need to.
Fox Radio. Do you have a update on the TikTok negotiations?
We have a lot of people.
Timeline's running out.
Well, I have 90 days from about 2 weeks ago, right? And I'm sure it can be extended, but let's see. I don't think you'll need to. We have a lot of people interested in TikTok, and I hope to be able to make a deal. I think it would be good. You know, people have learned it's very popular, and we'll have to probably get approval from China to do it. But we have a lot of people that are interested, and a lot of people, I think China will be interested because it's to their benefit too. So I look forward to that. But we have a lot of people that are interested in TikTok, quite a few.
Mr. President, Doge workers arrived today. Gavin Clegg and others arrived today at the IRS. Do you expect to close the IRS, or what are you expecting?
No, I don't expect it. But
the IRS.
But someday. I think that the Internal Revenue Service will be looked at like everybody else. Just about everybody's going to be looked at. So it's they're doing a hell of a job. It's an amazing job they're doing. And, you know, that force is building. I call it the force of super geniuses, but it's building. And, you know, they go up and they talk to some of the people about certain deals, and the people get all tongue-tied. They can't talk because these people get it. They're very smart people. We need smart people. Yes, Brian?
On tariffs, sir.
Yeah, Brian?
Yes, sir. Mr. President, I know that during the campaign, it was huge in Pennsylvania as far as bringing back manufacturing. Right. Have you talked to any CEOs since the tariffs were announced on steel and aluminum? What's the
feedback from those?
They are in love with it, as you know. In Pennsylvania, U.S. Steel is through the roof. They're all through the roof. That's why I didn't want U.S. Steel to make a deal with Japan or anybody else. I think it's going to do great. But I think maybe more than anybody else, the steel companies and aluminum companies, they're in love with what's happened. And this will eventually be the car companies and chip companies. We have to have chips made in this country. Right now, everything's made in Taiwan, practically. Almost all of it, a little bit in South Korea. But everything, almost all of it, is made in Taiwan. And we want it to be made. We want those companies to come to our country, in all due respect. You know, they took the business away. Taiwan took our chip business away. We had Intel, we had these great companies that did so well, and it was taken from us, and we want that business back. We want it back in the United States. And if they don't bring it back, we're not going to be very happy.
And you mentioned pharmaceuticals
as well in China. That's national security to bring that back.
China and other places. We want to get the pharmaceutical and drug business back into the United States, where it should be. Right?
Sir, on tariffs, are you concerned that the countries that would be most affected, like India, would just shift their trading to China?
No, I'm not concerned about anything, really. I mean, I'm just doing what's fair. This is a very fair thing. This should have been done a long time ago. I would have done it, but then COVID hit. I was getting ready to do this years ago, and first time we had the most successful economy in history, and then COVID hit, and this was going to be the thing that I was most waiting to do. But it was awfully hard to do this with Italy and France and Spain and all those people were dying, and then we put tariffs on. I have a big heart.
Sir, on Ukraine, when Putin says that he really wants peace, do you believe him?
Yeah, I do. I believe he wants peace. I believe that President Putin, when I spoke to him yesterday, I mean, I know him very well. Yeah, I think he wants peace. I think he would tell me if he didn't. I'd like to see peace.
Do you trust President Putin?
I believe that he would like to see something happen. I trust him on this subject. I think he'd like to see something happen. I think it could have happened a long time ago. I think Biden, number one, it shouldn't have started, but it did. And now all those cities are knocked down, like demolition sites. All those beautiful golden towers are knocked down. There's nothing going to replace them. But much more importantly, you lost millions of people. A lot of soldiers, but you lost millions of people. When they knock down those cities and they're all laying down on the side, they're lying down just in ashes and all crumbled up concrete. They literally look like a world-class demolition site. And many of them, almost all of them, but many of them. And this should have been done by Biden years ago. This should have never been allowed to happen. I know he's a friend of yours.
But couldn't Putin just withdraw his?
He's a friend of
today?
CNN. That's why nobody watches CNN anymore, because they have no credibility. Okay, who else? Yes, please.
Sir, if you can find a buyer in the United States for TikTok, do you think Xi Jinping will authorize the sale of it?
I'm going to make it worthwhile for China to do it. I think so. I mean, I got to know TikTok because during the election, I ended up with 36% higher than my opponent with youth. Okay, that never happened before. That's always been a Democrat thing, youth. It became a Trump thing. And I think TikTok, I think Joe Rogan was a part of it. Some of the great people that I did interviews with were a part of it. But I think that TikTok was a big part. Look, as you know, we were up by 36% with youth. The Republican was never up with youth. And I focused on TikTok, and I found it to be amazing, actually, and very fair. And I think the image of TikTok is different than it was before the election. I think people saw it, and they view it as a positive, not a negative. I think it'll be to China's advantage to have the deal be made. Yeah.
How much money do you think you'll raise from tariffs on an annual basis?
That's the most interesting question. I think it'll be a staggering amount. It will be the external, I call it the External Revenue Service. That was a name that was devised by a few of us, but I think it's going to be a staggering amount.
You've heard the number $1 trillion floated in meetings with senators. Is that a number you've thought of?
I don't know, but already the Senate's saying, well, wait a minute, you know, they're looking at some of the numbers and they're saying, whoa, this is, look, we want to, I say America first. I say make America great again. That's what we're doing. This is, I think it's the most important thing I've signed. I've signed some very important things. Right to Try was so important. I mean, a lot of important things. Space Force, the biggest tax cuts in history. You know, this could be one of the most important things that we've ever signed.
Do you expect the Russians and President Putin to attend the summit in Saudi Arabia?
Eventually, yeah. Not quite yet. It's a little early. They're having a meeting in Munich tomorrow. Russia is going to be there with our people. Ukraine is also invited, by the way. Not sure exactly who's going to be there from any country, but high-level people from Russia, from Ukraine, and from the United States.
Do you want to have Russia back to the G7, sir?
I'd love to have them back. I think it was a mistake to throw them out. Look, it's not a question of liking Russia or not liking Russia. It was the G8. And, you know, I said, what are you doing? You guys, all you talk about is Russia, and they should be sitting at the table. I think Putin would love to be back. Obama and a couple of other people made a mistake, and they got Russia out. It's very possible that if that was the G8, you wouldn't have had the problem with Ukraine. And if I was president, you definitely wouldn't have had the problem with Ukraine. Russia would have never attacked Ukraine. But you ask a very good question, the G8. It used to be the G8, and then these people threw them out. And I was arguing with Trudeau and with numerous of the people. Actually, Prime Minister Abe, a great man from Japan, agreed with me 100%, and some of the others did too. But I got there. It was the G7, as you know. They had already been terminated. I think it would have been very helpful, and it still would be helpful, to have Russia be a part of that mix. And I think if they were, I don't think you would have had the problem that you have right now.
Russia kicked them out, of part of the G20.
They kicked them out, of course, because they illegally annexed Crimea. I mean, how would you have responded if Russia invaded or took over?
They took Crimea during Obama.
2014.
But now they're looking to take the whole thing. Then they took a big chunk of land and people, as you know, during Bush. And now they're trying to take the whole thing during Biden. You know, the only one that didn't give him anything is Trump. They never took anything with Trump. Nothing. Not 2 inches of property of land. But Crimea was Obama. And then Bush gave him a lot, if you remember. And then, in fact, it's a sort of a standard little phrase. And Biden's giving him everything because this is a war that shouldn't have been had. And the only one that didn't give him anything is Trump. That's the way it is.
What's the position on Wall Street about these tariffs? So there's been some nervousness on Wall Street about the impact.
I mean, there hasn't been very much. And I think it's going to make the United States stronger. And in many ways, it could make other countries stronger, too. You know, other countries want to have a strong United States. They want to have a strong America. And I think it's going to make
President Trump in the Oval Office
speaking. Much stronger. And we have a lot of work we're doing on the military. Our military already, I've authorized some contracts to be built that are very substantial. We're building the greatest equipment in the world. We have the greatest military equipment in the world. We're building it. At some point, when things settle down, I'm going to meet with China, and I'm going to meet with Russia, in particular those two, and I'm going to say there's no reason for us to be spending almost $1 trillion on military. There's no reason for you to be spending $400 billion. China's going to be at $400 billion. We're at $1 trillion. We're going to be at close to $1 trillion. And I'm going to say, we can settle this on, we can spend this on other things. We don't have to spend this on military, because, and I'm going to be meeting with China. You know, we were trying to de-escalate nuclear, and I was in a position where Russia had agreed and China had agreed we were going to start, and then we had a rigged election, so that never took place. But this one was too big to rig. We won by so much that it was too big to rig.
Would it be a China meeting in the United States, or would you travel to China for that?
For what?
A China meeting.
I tell people all the time, you know, the question is, who's going to have the first meeting? Where are you going to? I say this to Putin, to President Xi. I say to everybody, never bothered me. You know, I'm willing to say I'll go first. It doesn't matter. It's the end result that counts. So it doesn't make any difference.
When do you want to have a conversation about global defense spending, you, China?
Well, I'd like to have that. As soon as things settle down, I'm going to have that conference, primarily with China and Russia, because those are the two that really are out there. And we're going to have them spend a lot less money, and we're going to spend a lot less money. And I know they're going to do it. They agreed to it. We were talking about denuking, denuclearize, denuking. And President Putin and I agreed that we were going to do it in a very big way. There's no reason for us to be building brand new nuclear weapons. We already have so many you could destroy the world 50 times over, 100 times over. And here we are building new nuclear weapons, and they're building nuclear weapons, and China's building new nuclear weapons, and China's trying to catch up because, you know, they're very substantially behind, but within 5 or 6 years, they'll be even. And we're all spending a lot of money that we could be spending on other things that are actually, hopefully, much more productive. Hopefully, there'll never be a time when we need those weapons. If there's ever a time when we need nuclear weapons, like the kind of weapons that we're building and that Russia has and that China has to a lesser extent, but will have, that's going to be a very sad day. That's going to be probably oblivion.
Do you see that as separate conversations, or do you see one giant summit with you, Xi Jinping, and Vladimir Putin?
Yeah, I could see that. Let things calm down a little bit. You know, when I left, we had no Middle East problem. We had no Russia going into Ukraine. They never would have done it. Putin never would have done it. And I came back and we got like the whole world is blowing up. So when we straighten it all out, then I want to have one of the first meetings I want to have is with President Xi of China, President Putin of Russia. And I want to say, let's cut our military budget in half. And we can do that. I think we'll be able to do it.
If Elon Musk identifies wasteful spending in the Defense Department, defense contractors and the like, are you willing to go after that spending as well?
We have to go waste, fraud, and abuse. Yeah, and we're doing that.
I'm just wondering about your conversations on defense spending. Would you want to do that as a trilateral, or would you use the existing body that also already includes China and Russia, the G20?
It's the people. It's President Putin, President Xi. I don't need bodies. I don't need anything. It's people. It's all about people. It's about relationship and people. And, you know, I've had a good relationship with President Putin. I've had a good relationship with President Xi. It's about people. And I think when things straighten out, which I hope will be in the not too distant future, the meeting I want to have first is a meeting with China and a meeting with Russia on slowing down, stopping and reducing nuclear weapons in particular, and also on not having to spend the kind of money we're all spending on weapons, military weapons generally.
I think my question is, would you have those meetings separately with each of those leaders, or would you try to bring them all together?
Both. You start off separately, and that's what was happening. I was dealing with President Putin. We had really an understanding where we were going to denuclearize. What a beautiful term that is, right? Denuclearize. What a great thing if we could do that. And we were going to, he really liked the idea, and so did I. And we had then called China, and China was very open to it. And then the COVID hit, and then we had a rigged election. Now there was no rigged election. Now we have an election that was too big to rig. That's what my whole theme was, too big to rig. And they tried, but they didn't pull it off.
Sir, as part of the reciprocal tariffs, would you also direct agencies to study the impact they would have on prices in the U.S.?
No, there's nothing to study. There's nothing to study. It's going to go well. You know, the United States is going to become a very, very strong economically country. Yeah.
Mr. President, in the past you have spoken against BRICS. India is part of BRICS. Do you want to dismantle BRICS, or U.S. want to be part of
it? I don't care, but BRICS was put there for a bad purpose. And most of those people don't even want to talk about it now. They're afraid to talk about it because I told them if they want to play games with the dollar, then they're going to be hit with a 100% tariff the day they mention that they want to do it. And they will come back and say, we beg you not to do this. BRICS is dead since I mentioned that. BRICS died the minute I mentioned that. And I know, I remember when Obama and Biden in particular, I guess he said that, they have us over a barrel. They don't have us over a barrel. We have them over a barrel. If BRICS wants to play games, those countries won't trade with us. We won't trade with them. And If any trading gets through, it'll be 100% tariff at least.
On your what cabinet,
you know what? When they hear that, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to say, look what happened to BRICS. They didn't even want to talk about it. They don't even want to admit that they were a member of BRICS. That's what's happened.
On your cabinet, sir, we saw Robert F. Kennedy Jr. get confirmed. He's going to come in here and be sworn in. Mitch McConnell has now voted against several of your nominees. He voted against RFK Jr. as the next health secretary, citing conspiracy theories. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I feel sorry for Mitch, and I was one of the people that led. He wanted to go to the end, and he wanted to stay leader. He's not equipped mentally. He wasn't equipped 10 years ago mentally, in my opinion. He'd let the Republican Party go to hell. If I didn't come along, the Republican Party wouldn't even exist right now. Mitch McConnell never really had it. He had an ability to raise money because of his position as leader, which anybody could do. You could do it even. And that's saying a lot. But the fact is that he raised money and he gave a lot of money to senators. And so he had a little loyalty based on the fact that as leader, you could raise a lot of money. The senators would call me and they say, he wants to give me 20, 25 million. Can I take it? I'd say, take the money. Take the money. But he engendered a certain amount of, I don't even call it loyalty. He, you know, was able to get votes. But I was the one that got him to drop out of the leadership position. So he can't love me. But he's not voting against Bobby. He's voting against me. But that's all right. He endorsed me. You know, Mitch, do you know that Mitch endorsed me, right?
Well, he did.
You think that was easy?
What? He had polio, obviously. And
I don't know anything about he had polio. He had polio.
Are you doubting that he had polio?
I have no idea if he had polio. All I can tell you about him is that he shouldn't have been leader. He knows that. He voted against Bobby. He votes against almost everything now. He's a, you know, very bitter guy. And we have a very strong party. And he's almost not even really a very powerful member. I'd say he's not a power. He's lost his power. And it's affected his vote. And, you know, it's one of those things. But in the meantime, Bobby did great, got more votes than anybody thought. And I think he's going to do phenomenally, just phenomenally in that position. And everybody else likewise did well. Not only well, they got more votes than anybody thought. Tulsi, look at how she did. She did great. Marco got 99 votes. How about that? And Marco got 99 votes. And Marco, by the way, I have to tell you, Marco Rubio's done a fantastic job. He's been a great Secretary of State. They're all doing great. But we're going to have a swearing in today, and maybe we're going to have a second one, because I hear we have a couple of them coming up. And the man behind me is doing a fantastic job, Secretary of Commerce. And I think you're going to see something very big come from today's signing. This is going to be a very important signing. Okay?
U.S. Steel, sir, can I ask very quickly? You said you'd meet with the head of that company and the Japanese company.
U.S. Steel is going to be here. And a lot of the steel companies are coming. I think steel companies, they love what's happening to them. We saved it. If I didn't do the tariffs from my first term, you wouldn't have one steel company here. You wouldn't have one steel. There wouldn't be a steel company alive in the United States. And right now, they're going to be thriving. They're doing very well, but they're going to be thriving. They're going to be coming out. People are going to want to buy those steel companies like crazy.
Are you still planning to mediate talks between Nippon Steel and U.S. Steel?
Yeah, I don't know. I think U.S. Steel right now has all the power. The tariffs have given U.S. Steel a new lease on life. Okay. Thank you all very much.
All right. There we go. President Trump in a wide-ranging interview in the Oval Office, a scrum, as it's called, with the media. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Appreciate you being here today. He started that actually around 2:40 or so. So it lasted a good 40, 45 minutes and covered a lot of ground, putting in reciprocal tariffs on countries who impose tariffs on us. Reciprocal tariffs. That was the big takeaway from the press conference today. And you heard about Pennsylvania. The question was asked about U.S. Steel, obviously very, very important to Pennsylvania. And he said that the executives at U.S. Steel are thrilled. The fact that it's not going to be owned by Japan, but it'll be by a Japanese company, but there'll be a big investment by them. So that's what he said today. Also, a lot about Putin, Ukraine. He wants this war to end. John Bolton is losing his friggin' mind over that. And yeah, Bobby Kennedy confirmed today as HHS secretary. And the only one to vote against him, Mitch McConnell, just like Mitch McConnell voted against Tulsi Gabbard yesterday. You know, and to be fair, look, like I said, in the first term, Mitch McConnell was able to get President Trump's justices through and on the Supreme Court and a lot of federal judges through. Absolutely. But his time has come and gone, and Mitch needs to go. And at this point now, he's just being obstructionist. It's amazing to me that he would, like I said yesterday, he would scold senators for these lone rogue votes, and that's literally what he's doing now. We'll talk about that. A lot to break down for you today as the show goes on. Of course, tomorrow is a big parade for the Eagles. We're excited about that. We're also going to talk about parental rights. The parental rights movement had a big win in New Jersey, but it doesn't just affect New Jersey. It's obviously a big topic around the country right now. Parental rights in education, everything that's going on in education, it's all the rage. The Democrats are melting down over DOGE. They can't believe it. They can't believe the fact that we're exposing all this spending through USAID. The president says waste, fraud, and abuse. The only thing I'm going to say is it really waste if you're the one getting the money? No. I mean, it's a waste of our taxpayer money, but I just like the fraud and the abuse part of it because it's not like the money's going to waste. They're doing something with it. In fact, they're doing some very nefarious things with the money. Waste, in my mind, implies that the money is just being wasted on something in terms of, I don't know, just thrown out or... No, they're putting it to use, these NGOs and these various little links of the intelligence community, and they're using it for lots of different things. DEI, climate change, and censorship. Yes, censorship, creating viruses, and doing the bidding of the Central Intelligence Agency. So they're putting it to good use. They're not wasting the money. But the abuse of our taxpayer dollars and the fraud that is associated with all this is why Democrats are freaking out, and they do not want any of this stuff to come to light. No doubt about that. They do not. They're terrified of it. In fact, I have a story here which I wanted to share with you, and it has to do a lot about that. HHS, Health and Human Services, which now Bobby Kennedy is going to be in charge of, they spent $228 billion with a B for illegal immigrants, migrants, including cash for cars, homes, loans, you name it. Our friend Scott Perry, Representative Scott Perry, detailing today on Capitol Hill how a lot of money for USAID went to the Bin Laden family and to the Taliban in Afghanistan. He went through all of that on Capitol Hill today. Jim Jordan, Congressman Jordan, with the Weaponization Committee, he talked to Matt Taibbi, Michael Schellenberger, and a woman, and we'll play this for you throughout the show today, who's Indian, who talked about censorship and how USAID played a role in the censorship industrial complex as well. So that's all happening. A little bit later in the show today, Paul Thacker is going to join me. I love his work. Paul Thacker is an investigative journalist. This guy has done great work exposing all this stuff. He was actually instrumental in helping prep for the hearing with Taibbi and Schellenberger to talk about the censorship industrial complex. And the media, they hate Bobby Kennedy so much, and they're freaking out, and they're already melting down over this. A guy who at one point was a Democrat. But there's a lot of moms out there, a lot of people who are very, very happy today that Bobby Kennedy is getting in, and it's time to make America healthy again. The MAHA movement is going to be going big time. That's the big story of the hour, by the way, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. In case you missed the big announcement yesterday, we're going to be broadcasting live from the White House this coming Wednesday. That's right, the White House in Washington, D.C., home of President Trump, will be doing what's known as a media row. So at these things, the way it works is we set up, we have a table, and they bring administration officials through, Biggie Biggs, and we do interviews with them. Maybe the president will stop by. Perhaps I'll have a chance to speak with him. I don't know. These things are never guaranteed. Last time I did, I was fortunate enough to be able to do an interview with the president in the Oval Office. Hopefully that'll happen again this time around. No promises, of course. But either way, it's going to be an exciting day because they always make these very impactful. It'll be from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. So we're going to be recording a ton of interviews and then sharing them with you on the show later that day. But it's super exciting and an incredible honor to be invited to the White House. Especially, I figured it would come. I didn't think it would come this quickly, but this is great. Because last time around, I had to wait like 2.5 years to get the invite to the White House. This time around, it's 2 months. So I like this schedule a lot better. You know what I mean? I like the 47 schedule better. So we clearly made some good friends during the campaign. And obviously, he owes me for the time that he said, I hope your ratings go to zero. In fact, Matt DeSantis, do you have the audio of that, please, that we can share with the audience in case they forgot what the president of the United States said on election night to all of us?
Give me 1 second.
That should always be at the ready, at the standby, to play at the ready. Justin, can't you put it on your screen so you can just play it whenever we need it?
Yeah, I just got to have Matt send me the file.
Matt, send him the file because you take too friggin' long to find it, and that's the problem.
Well, we got so many audio clips that it's hard to track these down. All right, here it is.
What I'd love to do, I'd love your ratings to go down to zero.
Okay, well, first of all, that's out of context. It's not the whole thing, what he said. That's just a clip of what he said.
Part. It's the important part.
That's a clip of what... he didn't mean, like, it forever. He meant... but anyway... But he did say he'd make it up to me, so, you know, he kind of owes me one. Maybe I'll call him that shit on Wednesday. We'll see. But nevertheless. And Linda McMahon today on Capitol Hill, literally during her own testimony to become the head of the Education Department, talking about the need to close the Department of Education. I just love that. I really, really do. I love it. All right. When we come back, a couple things to go over with you, and then we're going to talk to our buddy Justin Goodman from the White Coat Waste Project about all they've uncovered with regards to USAID and the links to COVID, Wuhan, the killing of puppies, you name it. It's all there for you. So big show for you today. It's Thursday, tomorrow, Valentine's Day, and of course, the parade for our very own Philadelphia Eagles. Streaming live on YouTube now. Don't go away.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. being sworn in right now as HHS Secretary by Justice Neil Gorsuch of the United States Supreme Court. That has happened. That just happened moments ago in the White House. And what we'll do here is let's jump in here right now, if we could. Bobby Kennedy probably going to say some comments.
So help me God. Congratulations, Mr. Secretary.
Oh, I guess not. All right, never mind. Cheryl Hines, his wife, sworn in by his side. I thought he would be speaking, but doesn't look like it. It's a big deal that he got through. I mean, you know, I was always worried about him. I was worried about Tulsi Gabbard. I was worried about, I'm still worried about, I don't think I'm worried anymore about Cash Patel. I don't think I'm worried about anybody. It's good. I mean, this is what should happen. These are all qualified people. The President of the United States gets to pick who he wants to help him achieve his agenda. Donald Trump is the ultimate disruptor, and quite frankly, he's got disruptors all around him. So bravo and great stuff. A little bit later in the show, I'm going to talk to a friend of mine who's been very active in the parental rights movement in New Jersey. But it's bigger than just Jersey, as I mentioned. It's really something that is national. And she's been a big fan of Bobby Kennedy's, a big advocate for him for a long time. So that's good. In case you're wondering, by the way, my foot surgery was supposed to be tomorrow. It's been pushed to next Friday to accommodate our White House visit on Wednesday. We're doing the show live from the White House. I think I mentioned that. And then on Thursday, I'm going up to New York for Fox News. But I am off tomorrow. I am taking tomorrow off, and I will be calling into the Dawn show tomorrow morning, though, however, 10:30 to talk to her about the parade. She'll be up there, and they'll be doing a whole thing on the station all day tomorrow with parade coverage. And a great fill-in host for me tomorrow, my buddy Tom Hayes will be, so tune in for that. Okay. What I find particularly infuriating about the gnashing of teeth of the left when it comes to USAID and DOGE is that they've just decided that by saying Elon Musk, that somehow scores them political points because he happens to be a billionaire. And the reality of the situation is the American people don't hate people who are successful. I mean, the left does. The left always has. They hate people who are successful. But the American people don't. They admire people who achieve great wealth, who are brilliant and who are innovators and create things, and we revere them. But they think by attacking Elon Musk because he's a billionaire that they'll be able to achieve something. And it's kind of funny how for years and years they've been defending these unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats. And now they're trying to say that Elon Musk is an unelected, unaccountable bureaucrat. Elon Musk is doing what the President of the United States of America is asking him to do, which is to find all the spending, to detail all the spending, and then figure it all out for us so that we can get to the bottom of it. And one of those guys who's been doing a great job figuring all this out is a man involved with an incredible organization called the White Coat Waste Project. And I'm very, very happy to welcome back to the show Justin Goodman, joining me here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Justin, how are you, my friend?
Good. What's up, Rich? How you doing?
I'm doing really well. We actually have some clips of you from the other day when you were on Capitol Hill. Tell us about why you were there, what you were testifying about on Capitol Hill.
Sure, yeah. So Congresswoman Nancy Mace, who is the chairwoman of the Government Innovation Subcommittee on the House Oversight Committee, called a hearing. The title was Transgender Lab Rats and Poisoning Puppies, Oversight of Wasteful Taxpayer-funded animal cruelty, and I was the lead witness.
I'm sorry, I have to stop you. It's so funny because I'm intoxicated right now. I thought I heard you say transgender lab rats.
Yeah, I did say that, and we got into that in the hearing. But
you know, true story though. Hang on, transgender lab rats was my Fleetwood Mac cover band name in college. Did you know that?
You're ahead of your time.
I thank you very much. Yes. I apologize. Go ahead, please.
No. So I was a lead witness there to testify about billions in wasteful spending on animal testing. And I highlighted spending at home and abroad by Dr. Fauci and others, including, as suggested by the title, experiments, $26 million in current experiments that the NIH is funding to give lab animals hormone therapies with estrogen and testosterone and do surgical manipulations on them to mimic gender transitions in humans, and then test drugs on them, test vaccines on them, take pictures of their genitals to see how the hormone, the gender affirming hormone therapies impact the shape of their stuff. So Nancy Mace opened the hearing discussing our investigation of the transgender animal labs that Fauci and others funded and are funding. And we also discussed about, you know, things like how, despite what happened in Wuhan and the coronavirus breaking out at a taxpayer-funded animal lab in China, the U.S. government is still funding dozens of animal labs in China, including one that's torturing 300 beagles every week at U.S. taxpayers' expense for drug testing and stuff. So we, the hearing really ran the gamut. It sounds like you're going to play some clips, so I'm sure there's some other colorful stuff we discussed that we can comment on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I want to give you some real props here, man. First of all, White Coat Waste Project and the way you've been able to link USAID funding to Wuhan, to the creation of COVID-19, that's incredible work that you've done. Everything else you've unearthed, I mean, years ago when Fauci was in charge of everything and this whole puppy scandal came out and they tried to deny it and they tried to lie about it and all these other things, and you did not let that go and you kept your foot on the gas about that. You kept your foot on the gas about the lab leak and the fact that they've been testing on bats. You kept your foot on the gas about all of these things. But I just can't believe that we're doing experiments on transgender lab rats and mice and doing these horrible things, and also a cordectomy on dogs. So let me play a clip of the, this is you now with Representative Nancy Mace on Capitol Hill, Justin Goodman. Very, very cool, man, that you're testifying in front of Congress like that. It's really impressive. Cut 17.
Just hearing how egregious this is, there's many more things that I have listed here. Of course, we've heard of the beagles who were in the mesh cages. I don't know if their vocal cords were paralyzed or if they were removed, but they were prevented from barking, correct?
Yeah. There was a project that Dr. Fauci funded. Actually, we worked with Chairwoman Mace to expose that they were doing drug testing where they were poisoning puppies with massive doses of drugs, and the laboratory cut their. There was actually a line item in the contract for a cordectomy.
Wow.
To cut the vocal cords so the dogs would not bark in the lab.
What would have happened to these beagle puppies if your organization hadn't rescued them?
In the case of those experiments,
mm-hmm.
Those dogs were going to be force-fed and injected with massive doses of experimental drugs to poison them to see at what point they got sick or died. And those tests will have no relevance for the safety and efficacy of that drug in human beings.
Justin, it's the kind of thing, it's nightmares, man. It's the kind of thing you'd expect to read in a Michael Crichton novel if you were still alive.
Yeah, I mean, I was proud to be testifying. It was my birthday.
And, oh, happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So, yeah, I was on Capitol. I was sick all week. I was hoping and praying that I'd be up to it to get to the Hill, and I did. I got to testify. And this is my life's work, Rich. I mean, this isn't just a job for me. I've been doing this for 20 years, trying to shut down government funding for animal testing. We've saved a lot of animals, but there's a lot more work to do. There's still 60,000 just dogs and cats in U.S. laboratories, and most of those labs are being funded by taxpayers. So we are still footing the bill for things like I was describing. They're debarking puppies so they're not too noisy in the lab, and they're easier to abuse and cage in these massive warehouses where they're being stacked in tiny cages and abused. The cats being given COVID, having their legs amputated to test prosthetics, having marbles shoved up their butts to do constipation experiments, another thing I talked about in the hearing. So the list goes on and on. And like I said, it's not just in the U.S., it's overseas. There's hundreds of labs overseas that are getting taxpayer funding. And we're bullish right now because, you know, DOGE is looking for cuts. Trump is looking for cuts. And this stuff is low-hanging fruit. Yeah. No one across the political spectrum wants to see puppies, kittens, or other animals tortured in these wasteful and outdated experiments. And look at the culprits. We're talking, like, you know, you and I talked about last week and you mentioned here today, USAID is funding animal experiments in foreign countries. NIH, the same agency that funded the creation of COVID, is the single largest funder of animal testing in the world, wasting about $20 billion a year of its budget. Almost half of its budget is spent on these types of animal tests. I mean, one of the other things we discussed in this, in the hearing, was, you know, experiments where they're taking chunks of aborted human fetuses and implanting them to create humanized lab animals. That's happening at colleges and universities across the country, doing gun control experiments where they shoot off. These are all government experiments where they shoot off rifles and handguns and then force lab animals to inhale the emissions to see if it's harmful. It's this stuff's disgusting. It's wasteful. No one wants it. No one needs it. No one likes it. But there's been so little transparency and accountability about it for too long that you have people like Fauci who just ran amok with our tax dollars. And thankfully, there's people running the government now. You know, RFK Jr. is a supporter of ours. Mm-hmm. We're in his book. He helped us expose Fauci's Beagle testing. He's talked about the Wuhan lab stuff that we did. He talked about the cover up that the Washington Post and others did of Fauci's Beagle testing and how we were censored and deplatformed places and weren't allowed to talk about the fact that Fauci had funded the Wuhan lab and these Beagle tests abroad. So we're excited that he just got confirmed today, and the people he's bringing with him, hopefully, to run these agencies like the NIH, Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, another reformer who's a supporter of our group and our mission. And we're hoping there's a lot of ways to clean up in Washington, and these guys are up to it. We hope they get jobs. We hope they all get confirmed, and we hope we could start saving some kittens and puppies.
I want to play one more clip, Justin, while I have you. This is Representative Congresswoman Lauren Boebert was asking you. This is, again, stuff of nightmares here regarding human fetal tissue. Cut 18.
Implant aborted baby parts into lab animals. Have you heard of that sort of research?
Yeah, we did an analysis a few years ago showing that over 90% of experiments with using human fetal tissue and putting them involved animals were funded by Fauci's NIAID.
Do you know where they're getting the aborted human fetal tissue?
A lot of it is happening at colleges and universities that have affiliated hospitals that perform that procedure.
Madam Chair, I think we need to look into that as well.
Justin, this is really a bipartisan issue here. I mean, it's very rare to have a moment in time where you've got Republicans, Democrats are both saying that what's happening here is awful. But really, it's been mostly Republicans saying all this stuff, which is kind of strange in some ways, right? Because you would think that Democrats would be the party that would be trying to protect beagles and puppies. But no, I mean, clearly not. And it's sad to say. I mean, I know you're a nonpartisan organization, but it's just sad to see how many of our elected members of Congress are willing to protect these entrenched bureaucrats under the guise of them being experts and infallible.
Well, you're exactly right, Rich. I mean, at the core, this issue is nonpartisan. It started that way back in the 60s in the U.S., Republicans and Democrats working together. But it got politicized by the big establishment, you know, quote unquote, animal rights groups who have big, broad agendas that go way beyond just ending animal testing. You know, obviously, you know, food police stuff and just things that are irrelevant to this particular issue, but are actually ostracizing and alienating to a lot of people. I mean, the country isn't made up of vegan animal rights activists. That's like less than 1% of the population, but that's who kind of took control of this issue. We're trying to bring it back in the middle where it belongs. We work with everybody from the Freedom Caucus to the Squad. Obviously, you know, we appeal to pro-life people who don't want to see parts of aborted human fetuses being implanted into lab animals. We appeal to people on the left who just don't want to see animals being abused. But we're a country of animal lovers. 66% of this country has a dog or a cat in their home. They consider them members of the family, and they don't want to be forced to pay for this stuff. So whether people are for small government, less wasteful spending, animal rights, whatever, they have a home at White Coat Waste Project. We have no litmus test beyond whether do you want to get the government out of the animal testing business. And if you're on board with that, then you could be part of our team. You know, a lot of what happened too, COVID broke people's brains, man. Like people on the left who used to be supporters of ours, members of Congress, and also, you know, just run of the, you know, folks on Main Street, they all became obsessed with Fauci, obsessed with the quote unquote science, and afraid to criticize it because they thought it reflected badly on them and on the party and the country or whatever. Meanwhile, these people are running wild with our tax dollars, funding experiments overseas that caused the pandemic that killed millions of people. And these folks want to look the other way and promote these people and give them awards and medals. And you know, I just think we've always been on the same page about this. We've never changed our position, which is holding the powerful people in this country accountable for wasting tax dollars and abusing animals. And that's true regardless of who is running the country. Unfortunately, when Joe Biden was running the country, he undid a lot of the progress we made. And Congress was unwilling to criticize the administration under Biden because they saw it as their administration, their guy in there, and they didn't want to say anything. You know, fortunately, now we have people running the government who are willing to take on these entrenched bureaucrats, take on this wasteful spending, start making important cuts that are going to protect public health, protect animals, save tax dollars. It's really a win-win for everybody. We don't care if the people doing it have an R or a D or an I after their name. That's irrelevant. But it happens to be right now that Republicans are taking the lead on this issue, and we're very grateful for it.
Justin Goodman, keep up the great work, my man. What you guys have exposed, tying USAID to Wuhan, incredible work. All of this is incredible work. Follow Justin on X at Justin R. Goodman, and follow the White Coat Waste Project at White Coat Waste. Thanks, buddy. Great to see you. I imagine we'll probably be talking next week because exciting times to come with Bobby Kennedy in there. I can't wait. So look forward to having you on the show on a very regular basis going forward.
Always happy to be on. Thanks for your support, Rich.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, let's. I just saw your note, Matt. Sorry about that. All right, anyway, that's okay. All good. We got a lot to get to in the 4 o'clock hour. We're going to talk about the parental rights movement. Bobby Kennedy just spoke a few moments ago in the White House. We grabbed the audio of that for you. What he said. Yeah, Jay Bhattacharya. Look, there's another aspect of all of this which has not really gotten as much attention, but USAID has been very complicit in funding the censorship operation throughout the country and the world, really, truly. I mean, it is a great example of how government is using our money to try to stifle free speech, especially when people disagree with experts. So we're going to talk about all that as well. Big 4 o'clock hour straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.